Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I'm live to you from California. Welcome to Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain. My show encourages you to live your intended self in harmony with your traumatic brain injury, to live on a less resistive path where you will allow for your desires. I am Tyler Stanley, your host. I am an author, scriptwriter, non-practicing lawyer, and TBI resource specialist, and I am a survivor, of course. My website for additional information is tylerstanley.net. If you have a question for me or would like to discuss your story here, you can call in at 347-857-3755. Again, that's 347-857-3755. And actually, I'm going to go to a caller soon from 805. Area code 805, you're on the air. Hello?
The Totally Traumatic Show?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Oh, hi there. This is Vicki Kind. I'm going to be one of the guests today. Hi.
Yes, absolutely. Hi, Vicki. Thanks for calling in this morning.
No problem.
Yes, and so we're going to have you around. You're going to be here to talk to us about your book, what, around 9:20 or so?
Yes, I was just calling in to be ready and in queue for my turn.
Well, fabulous, fabulous. I wasn't sure. I saw the 805, and I thought it's probably Vicki. So thank you for calling in, Vicki, and we'll have you on soon. And thank you again. Appreciate it. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So, again, I'm a survivor, of course, and this show is really about you. It's about this. I've got this time. And I need your support as listeners and survivors and caregivers. I need your support because I'm on my journey, and my journey is to, my dream is to option a screenplay, find a publisher who believes in my books, and so that's my journey. And so when I say that my hope is that this show can be an encouragement for you to live your intended self in harmony with your traumatic brain injury, and to live on a less resistive path where you can allow, finally, for your desires to be even more important than the pain and the struggle that you feel. And I've been there. I know that. And I've accomplished a lot. And so now I can be here and I can allow you space to develop your dreams. And again, my website, tylerstanley.net. And if you have a question, I'll do the call-in number again, 347-857-3755. And you can call in any time during the show from 9 a.m. to 9:30 Pacific Standard Time, except today. The show is extended to fully experience our guest. You heard from one already, from Vicki. She'll be on soon. This is a long-distance call, so you may want to use your free cell minutes. There is also a live call-in option for those of you sitting at your computer. Just use the click-to-talk feature, which will allow you to call into the show from anywhere in the world at no charge. Now, I understand that you will have to sign in to use this feature, so check that out. If you have any problems, just send the information to me in the blog, in the chat room, and I will check it out for you if this is not working for you. And if you have a question, again, type it in the online chat forum. I'll get to that. Sometimes I'm able to do two things at one time and actually be on the air and watch the chat, so I'd like for your questions to come up. Or if I don't get to it during the show time, then I'll get to it afterwards. And we can, last show I continued with some dialogue with a listener, and that worked out really well as well. So if you don't have the means to afford to call in on a cell or whatever, just make use of that chat room. So welcome to Counting the Days. And I appreciate so much your being here today. So please stay tuned on this channel, Totally Traumatic Brain, because we have our guest today and hopefully have some callers that are willing to let us know what's happening to them and to call in their story. So let's begin. Let's begin with our first guest is Patricia Gill, and Patricia is the executive director of the Marin Brain Injury Network. And of course, later in the show, Vicki will join us, and she's an author of a fabulous book, The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision Making. And I'm very looking forward to learning more about her work. Okay, and we have Patricia Gill, and so we're going to bring her on, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about some fundraising, and a few local Bay Area people, check it out, and then the Marin Brain Injury Network. Good morning, Patricia. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I can hear you fine.
Excellent. Well, good morning to you. I'm so excited to be here.
Good. Well, thank you for joining me. As you know, this is a new venture for me to try and provide a space for caregivers and survivors. And so having you on is fabulous because you're going to tell us a little bit about one of my favorite organizations locally is the Marin Brain Injury Network. When I was injured, there was no such thing. And TBI wasn't even, nobody even recognized the injury. So that in itself is another story for another time. So, Patricia, we have some fundraisers coming up for Marin Brain Injury Network. Can you tell us about it?
I sure can, Tyler. You were talking about when you had your injury and there wasn't any resources available. And
yep.
It reminded me, Marin Brain Injury Network is 25 years old this year.
Oh.
And it was founded by a woman named Karen Schurig, whose daughter had a traumatic brain injury, and she found the same experience that you did, that there were no resources for the survivors or the family. So she started this very small yet powerful nonprofit, and this nonprofit now serves over 400 people a year and is starting to grow into providing more services. One of the things we've started to add is more presentations and hosting events for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to, as you are well aware, we're going to be hosting an event on August 7th, and it's in Larkspur at our organization. The website is www.mbin.org for people
okay.
who want to check out the event and also see how to get to our site. But the event is called In Their Words. And it's three authors who will be reflecting on their journey through brain injury. And
okay.
we're very excited with three amazing women who are coming to the center.
Well, I know
You know one of them?
I know one of them. The other two, could you tell us a little bit about the other two?
I'm so glad to know that you know one of them.
Yeah. I'm a little shy about that, but yeah, I'm the third.
Well, I'm going to talk you up a little bit here, Tyler. It's you're going to be one of the speakers. Your book, Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain, is a brilliant collection of poetry that is inspirational and expressive and just beautifully written. And you're going to be one of the speakers that day. The event's from 11 to 3. And the other two speakers include Allison Bond Shapiro, and she's written Healing into Possibility, The Transformational Lessons of a Stroke. And Allison had two strokes within 24 hours and had to recover to the point where she is today. She's going to be speaking with Rita Martin, who is another survivor as well. And Megan Timothy has written 12,000 Miles for Hope's Sake. And she is coming to visit us. She's not a local author. But all three of you are amazing women who have incredible stories to tell, are also beautiful writers, and if I remember correctly, all three authors from their accident or their injury had to relearn how to communicate and now are speakers and authors. And I think it's such a tribute to the power of our body and our brain to heal. And
very resilient. You're correct
exactly.
on that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And with will and hope, is just strength, will, and hope, and pushing. That's what
yeah.
all you have said to me. So this is going to be an amazing event in Rustic Bakery, which is this amazing tiny bakery across the street from the organization. They're going to they're donating refreshments for this event. So We're very excited about that. So this is a free event to the community, and donations are welcome and accepted for the organization.
Okay.
We are a nonprofit that is funded by the people who come for our services. We have a sliding scale fee structure. We don't turn anybody away if they can't afford to come. So we supplement by going out to the community and getting donations from individuals or family foundations. We get a little bit of county funding. So it's something that we're offering free to the community, and donations will be welcome. And I believe people will have authors will have their books for sale, and we'll be there to sign as well.
Okay, great. Let me ask you a couple questions. So then that's going to be Saturday, August 7th from 11 to 3. And
yes,
that's going to be in Larkspur, and the address is 1132 Magnolia Ave. And if
yes,
you need directions, if people need directions, special directions, can they call you?
They can. The number that we can be called at is 415-461-6771.
Great. And Patricia, also, can you let us know a little bit about the program? And even if somebody is from out of state, would there be any, could they also avail to the program, any kind of services if they were to move here or somehow come in contact with the Bay Area? And do you take calls from out of state? I mean, do people call you from around the country asking you for resources? Give us a little idea of the day in the life of the Marin Brain Injury Network and what goes on there during the day.
Okay. Well, people can call us from all over the United States, and we help find resources. We have a resource specialist who will look and go online and make calls and do the legwork to help people find what they need. And we've actually had a few people call us who are planning to move to our area, and they wanted us to help them find housing and get their situation set up so they could move here. So we do offer that, so anybody's always welcome to call us. And a day in the life is pretty fabulous, I have to tell you. I think one of the best jobs.
Yes, I think you do, yes.
it's an amazing
there. And you've sort of been there through some changes with the program, of course. And so you've been there how long now, Patricia? I think a few years.
I've been there 4 years. In June, it was
yep,
4 years. And I've kind of been there through different positions and worked with Karen Shurig, who was our founder. She retired, and sadly she actually passed away shortly after she retired. But she was the founder and put her life energy into that organization. And I'm the executive director and just sort of work with the staff and the programs and all the participants and the families. And what we offer is a structured day program that provides rehabilitation for people, adults, who have had an injury, a brain injury, traumatic or acquired. And we also have support and individual therapy, support groups. We do neuropsychological assessment. We have expressive art therapy, which is fabulous rehabilitation tool, and education classes, resource referral, and sometimes people just drop in because they're just feeling a little bit lonely and they want to talk. So we have people who drop in. And,
oh, great. So you have kind of a walk-in. People don't have to have an appointment. If they have some questions, they need some resources, they need some help, because sometimes you just need the help right then and there. You don't even, you know, you just want to go to a location and have somebody care a little bit and help you along and get you started. And so you're available for that. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, exactly, Kyler. We are. We are available. People can walk in. They don't have to have an appointment. We're there Monday through Friday. We've had people call in who just had an injury. We had a woman recently who had something hit her on the head, and she hadn't even been to the doctor. She wasn't sure what to do, and she called us to find out what to do. We've had people walk in who are homeless and trying to figure out how to get on their feet. And we do what we can. We take the time to see if we can figure out a way to help them get on their feet. And, you know, Karen started the center. One of the things that she said a lot was that she wanted to help people not feel so lonely, you know, to
mm-hmm,
feel connected and have a community in the world. And that's why she started the center. And
that's
it's huge. And, you know, what you said earlier in your show, it reminded me of that. You said that something about your intended self being in harmony with your brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that's a lot of what we do at the center is, you know, people have a brain injury, but that's not all of who they are. And sometimes that gets forgotten when somebody's injured.
That's so true, and that's been my experience, and what I think has helped me along my way is to understand the distinction between, you know, your intended self, sort of the life you live and the one that you want, the one that is your intended self, kind of meeting up at some point with your purpose. And I feel that I've done that, and it's like the pain and the suffering is huge. And so it's minimizing that a little bit with poetry, with creative healing, and with keeping your eye on the ball of your desires.
Well, and you're an inspiration and a motivation, a very great mentor for a lot of people who have been through the experience to understand how to keep going towards finding and acknowledging that part of ourselves. I mean, we all have that part that we're working towards, where we want to actualize, you know, our dreams and not to let go and not to give up, even though we hit wall after wall after wall.
right.
But to keep going. And I think I see that every day at the center, and the people we see people who have a range of abilities from their injury, and people who are in a wheelchair or who are very, very ambulatory, and it's everybody's different, and there's a range. And what people say about their experience is how they felt like they were reborn, or they're thankful every morning when they wake up and appreciate their day. It brings a view of life that I think is quite extraordinary.
Yes, that's so true. And I'm so thankful for the center there, and I so appreciate you being there. And I joined the board, I think, about a year and a half ago, and the reason I did is to continue the work in the advocacy in traumatic brain injury and for families. And so because it was about, my injury was about, you know, 30 years ago, when I was a fairly young child, and so it's all come a long way, and I just really, the center has a lot of integrity, which is very important to me in its work in the community. So, again, Patricia, I just want to, could you just say one more time when the fundraiser is, so people have that down? Tell us again about Saturday, the time.
It's Saturday, August 7th, and it's called In Their Words, Three Amazing, Strong, Wonderful Women Who Are Authors and Speakers and Survivors. And it's 11 to 3 at 1132 Magnolia Avenue in Larkspur. And please feel free to call the RSVP, or if you have any questions, at 415-461-6771. And just to let the audience know, we will have our art gallery open, and we will have pieces, artwork, framed pieces, and other amazing creations that our participants make to help fundraise for the center. So we'll have those on display and available for the guests who come.
Well, that's just terrific. I thank you on behalf of myself and the other two authors. I mean, this is a great event and for a great cause. And again, thank you, Patricia Gill, for being on the show. And is there anything else we need to know? I think that's probably it, other than maybe thank you to Rustic Bakery. Just be there.
Thank you for Rustic Bakery. And Tyler, thank you for everything that you do for our organization and for everyone. And I'm really looking forward to this event.
Thank you, Patricia.
All right.
Love to have you. Come back again. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. That was Patricia and she Gill from the Marin Brain Injury Network. And wonderful program. I can't say enough about it. There's a lot of resources in your area, too. Check them out. And find somebody to work with and to keep you on your path. And now I'm very happy to introduce Vicki Kind. She's the author of The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision-Making. And Vicki is a clinical, and she's going to have to, when she comes on, help me pronounce this a little bit, clinical bioethicist, a medical evaluator and hospice volunteer. Her book, which I mentioned, The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision-Making, Making Choices for Those Who Can't, guides families and healthcare professionals through the difficult process of making decisions for those who are losing or have lost the ability to think. She has also been a caregiver for many years for a family member, and for actually maybe even more than one family member. So we're going to now go to Vicki and hear about her book and what she's doing for caregivers.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Hi, Vicki, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, you said it fine, bioethicist. Nobody ever knows what that is, but I'm the person that goes and cleans up the mess in the hospital when the doctor isn't respecting the patient's wishes or the families are demanding things and the doctors are like, no, that's not the right thing to do, and everyone gets into a conflict and the patient gets lost in the argument. And the patient sitting there suffering, it's like, hello, we need to focus on doing right by this person. So I'm the person that goes in there and works with everybody and sees if we can find a good solution that will truly respect the person's wishes and manage their health and make sure that they're not suffering.
That is fabulous. And you've written the book. Why did you write the book?
Well, two reasons. When I was 21, I became the caregiver of my mom who had a massive stroke. And back then, I'm 46 now, so back then we didn't have all the resources. We didn't have, you know, all the internet and everything we have now. And so, like you, I was very overwhelmed. And so the thing that frustrated me the most, though, besides being an overwhelmed caregiver, is that the doctor was not listening to my mom's wishes. My mom had actually stated what she would want if she had ever had this kind of stroke, and the doctor didn't ask. The doctor didn't want to respect it, so that really frustrated me. But that's a long time ago, but it always sat with me, and that's what actually brought me to my field of bioethics, to make sure that people are respected, that families are supported. And what finally motivated me to write the book was after I was speaking with a group of doctors. I do a lot of medical education, and I was teaching them about how to work with conservators and guardians for people who have lost the ability to communicate for themselves. And afterwards, he stepped out into the hall, and he's like, thank you. This has helped so much, because he was taking care of his disabled sister, who was 30 years old physically, but mentally maybe 11. And he realized that he had been using the wrong tools. Because what I provide is I give people lots of tools and strategies and questions to use so you can actually figure it out. You can figure out the best plan for the person you're taking care of. And he said, I was giving her too much voice. I was treating her like she was mentally 16 or 17. And, of course, she was making poor choices for her life. And then he was getting frustrated. And so they got into this terrible cycle of just being upset with each other. And I'll have to say, this is a few years ago, I can still see his face. He was so relieved because he knew, okay, now I can get it right. Now I can take care of her in a respectful but a protective kind of way.
You cannot know it all. And even a physician has questions about caregiving. And you mentioned something, and one of the things I really like and recommend about your book is it is sort of like a guidebook. It's not kind of reading. It's more applicable.
Yes. I'm a really practical person. I mean, I like to think about fancy ideas, but reality is if you can't take what someone's just taught you and turn it into action that day, it didn't help you. And so I'm very good at explaining things in an easy-to-learn, easy-to-read style where you'll actually feel really empowered afterward. What I find for so many caregivers, I mean, people don't sign up to be a caregiver. Somebody has a traumatic brain injury and you get thrown into this world, and nobody tells you how to do it, how to make these tough choices. People are asking you, what should we do? What should we do? Nobody tells you how to even begin that process. And luckily, the tools that I use in my work in bioethics, they work fabulously for caregivers. They make it easier, and you feel a little bit stronger about knowing you're doing the right thing for your loved one.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge, because it's very difficult to know.
Right. Right.
It's
no one teaches you how to be a parent, and nobody teaches you how to say what's the right thing for somebody else. I mean, we know our own mind, but when now we're responsible for somebody else, how do you decide, should my loved one who's had an injury, should they be included in this decision? Should they have a voice, or is this too important of a decision that I can't put that decision on them because it's too risky? I'll have to step in and make that choice. But then how can I really keep my loved one empowered and included in their life so we just don't strip people of the meaning of their life? So it's a nice, the book is really about balancing your need to protect the person you're taking care of with also honoring and keeping them included to the best of your ability.
And that's so the ethic that I found in your book. It's doing the job, and it's that you've been thrown into, as you mentioned, and doing it with ethic and compassion, and never losing sight in that in the role that you have, but also in the person, your loved one, and what they want in their life, maybe what they've expressed to you, or what your best guess is. It's a tough one.
And we can figure it out. I mean, for many people, they have a traumatic brain injury much later in life. And so they had a rich life. They had values and beliefs and culture and religion and all the things that made them who they are. And you don't just throw that away. That person still has that set of belief systems. So what I teach families to do is when you become the decision maker, you always start from the place of what would the person say? Even though they're too sick to speak right now, if they could understand what has happened to their body, the situation they're in, what's happened to their brain, what would they tell us to do? What would they say, tell the doctor this is important to me? And when we start from that kind of position, and not only an ethical position because we're honoring the person, it also gives caregivers some peace of mind because you don't feel like all the decision is yours. You're just the voice, voicing your loved one's opinions. And I find that people can take a lot of comfort from that approach.
Yes, that's very true, and there's so much on this topic, and I hope that you will come back again at some point, because I just feel like now I've just got all these questions for you, and the book is just such a wonderful guide, and as some people know, I lost my mother last year, and I was in this situation. It just completely turned that I was not the patient, so to speak, anymore, but my mother, and it was very challenging, and I wish that I had had this book to guide me. I was by the seat of my pants, and I do want to ask you one thing, Vicki, too, is should people be afraid to fire a doctor who they believe is not competent in the care of their loved one? I think that's a big question for people.
You know what? I don't think you should ever be afraid to fire a doctor. I encourage people to fire doctors. Because, and I actually tell doctors to fire difficult families and patients. It's not personal. It's just reality. If you don't like a person, you're not going to spend as much time with them. You're not going to be as attentive to their needs. So when the relationship between you and the healthcare team breaks down, you're not getting the care you need. And even though, I mean, you can be mad at the doctor, whatever, just let them go, say, you're not right for me, I'll find the right doctor that will communicate in a way that works for me, will listen to my needs. You should absolutely fire a doctor. And all you have to do is just notify them. Even in the hospital, you can fire your hospital doctor and you'll get a different one assigned to you, or you can pick one. Sometimes the best person to ask in the community are the nurses. If you know some nurses, they always know who the real good doctors are because, you know, even though they're not supposed to badmouth, but they'll privately say to you, yeah, I think you're best off with this person. He's the one or she's the one for you. So
that's a good point. Rely on other people around in the medical team. And I think maybe rely on your instincts as well.
Yeah. If it doesn't feel right, I think we really do need to listen to that voice inside us, whether it's your conscience or your gut, whatever you want to call it. A lot of times that's our warning signal. Something's not right. I need a different plan. I think that's the thing that drives me crazy is that what happens is people get going on a plan. We're going to do this. We're going to have this person live in this care facility, or we're going to start these treatments. And then the plan isn't working. It's either causing harms or the person's not happy there. And people forget to say, I can change the plan. I can stop, make a new plan, and get it right. I mean, we're allowed to make mistakes along the way as a caregiver.
And
just don't keep making it.
Exactly. Yeah, to be flexible, because I guess it is. Maybe it's a changing of decisions, you know, several times a day, depending on the level of care and where the person is. Vicki, there's one thing I think that people seem to deal with at this point of a person's life is guilt in making decisions. Do you have any advice for someone in that situation?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people come to me with guilt, and I had one lady talk to me. She had made a decision for her mom in an end-of-life situation, and 5 years later, she was still in tears about it. So I talked to her. I sat with her, and I said, what happened? How did you make the decision? What do you think? What happened because of it? And we realized after talking, she and I realized that she had done the right thing. It still was terrible because she had to make hard end-of-life choices, but she had honored her mother's wishes. She had truly taken care of her in those last days. She had nothing to feel guilty about. So the way I separate guilt is, if you've really done something wrong, then sure, you should feel guilty. That's appropriate. You should own up. You make it right. You say you're sorry, you know, because sometimes we make mistakes. But if it's that irrational guilt where we just think we could have done better if we had known, all of that stuff that runs through our head, you couldn't have known more. You did the best you could at that time. You can't be guilty about something that you tried to do the right thing. I recently had to make a healthcare decision for a loved one, and I thought I was making a good choice. It seemed to be a decision that would make a better quality of life. You know, they were going to need to do a procedure, but then that way they wouldn't have to be going to the doctor as often. We were going to solve the issue. And the person had a terrible medical outcome because sometimes stuff happens. And,
yes,
you know, I've just racked. I don't feel guilty about it because I know I thought about it. I did it as well as I could, but I feel badly. So it's different. You might feel badly about how it turned out, but you don't necessarily need to feel guilty because if you made a good choice, you can't control how the body is going to react to a side effect from the treatment. You know, and so I'm struggling with this right now, but I don't feel guilty. I really made the right choice. It just didn't turn out. So I feel badly for families.
Yes, and it sounds, yes, and I'm sorry for your situation and your loss in it, but it is. You can't seem to, because sometimes you just don't have all the information. I mean, sometimes my mom needed something. She was not able to speak. And she, the best she could do was squeeze my hand. And so I operated trying to provide for her with asking her questions, and she could squeeze my hand. But yet that was one thing. But then you don't always know what the medical situation really is. There could be all kinds of undercurrents of things going on that you can't possibly know.
Right. I mean, people can feel free to go to my website. I have a couple great resources there. My website is thecaregiverspath.com, and on there, go to the resource page, and then in the section called excerpts from the book, there's a list of questions you should be using when making medical decisions for others. And it also includes questions not just about the medical treatments, but what are the financial ramifications? What will happen to this person's values? Or do we need to get their religion involved? What their culture, their quality of life questions. So feel free to download that and keep using that as a reference because we have to ask more questions and we have to ask good questions. A lot of times caregivers will just jump to a conclusion, but they didn't think it all the way through. You'll have a lot more peace of mind if you take the time, and most situations you can take time. There's not that many things that are truly an emergency. Think it through, talk to people, and then do the best you can. But feel free to share that with people can download it. They can share it with anyone. It's there for everybody.
Oh, terrific. Well, Vicki, this is just amazing. And again, I totally recommend your book. It's great. And what I like so much about it is you can actually apply it. And with the flowchart in the back and all the wonderful advice. So thank you again, Vicki, for joining us on the show.
Thanks, yeah.
Totally Traumatic Brain. And hope
Great.
To talk to you again.
Absolutely. I'd love to be back.
Thank you, Vicki. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you so much, Vicki. That was such great information for our caregivers. I want to announce something. I want to call for poetry. I've decided that I'd really like to have those of you out there that want to write poetry, have poetry. I want to have you read your poetry, or you can type it in the chat if it's not too long, and I can read your poetry. I'll figure out a way to share it. But again, I want to all keep writing. So I want to thank everybody who joined the show today, our guest, and because, again, this is a space to provide information and the best of information. So I've got a few people in the chat room, so I will answer your questions soon. And again, always remind yourself of who you are and how much you've accomplished, that you've survived something horrific. Survivors know how to remanufacture themselves. Many individuals today without an injury are being forced by this economy to learn how to remanufacture themselves with experiencing job, family, or home loss. This is a very tough time. Think about it. If you want to drive to New York from California, you need a map, right? What towns you look for stopping for gas or food, keeping on track so you don't get lost. But that's not enough. You need to imagine and to feel your journey. Really get in touch and feel your journey and the getting there. Having a sense, building a sense of when you get off the wrong exit so you feel turning around and pointing back in the right direction. It becomes preparation, and delivery. Survivors, today you can be the teachers of building tomorrow by sharing your stories of hope, determination, faith, dignity, ethic, and turning pain into gain. While asking yourself, is this my path? Again, this is it. It is asking. It's checking in every day, saying, am I on my path? Do I see New York in my future? Yes. Do I see New York where I can drive to it town by town by town? It reminds me of maps. I used to, at some point later, had made very sophisticated maps of getting to first steps or remembering my name when I was in a store to write my name on a check. That's going back to checks. Now we have ATM, which I love. The ATM cards are great unless you completely blank out and you forget your PIN number. That's always but remembering your name to sign a check, that was a very difficult part for me. So I made these elaborate maps. So as far as the New York from California, that's my best advice. Get down and make that map. And how you make the map is you keep in touch with yourself on a day-to-day basis. What are you doing? Are you in rehab? Are you working? Are you going to facilitated support groups for TBI, caregivers? Are you getting what you need? Are you taking R&R? Are you finding a way to reach out to neighbors and friends and other family members to get your R&R, your rest time? Because if you're not rested, then the stress can cause health issues for a caregiver, and so you want to make sure that you're healthy and that you're on top of things so you can be there for the survivor. It's a tough job to care for your loved one, but thank you all for who are out there doing the right thing, because you can always say no. Everybody can find a way to say no. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to do that. I'm too busy. I don't have enough money. There's a million excuses, but there is the larger majority are out there doing the right thing, and I have to give it to you because it's not easy, and there's a lot of your own loss involved in your career, your income, and all aspects of your life just come crashing in, and I understand that from my caregiving experience and how much devastation that caused to my life. And so you just rebuild, you remanufacture, you keep recreating the you that you're trying to get to. It's you have to keep recreating, and you get off track. Don't beat yourself up. just get back. Just get back on track. Just go, okay, made a mistake, and going to go. Going to go again. And keep that vanishing point. Keep New York in view. And you don't let go of it till you get there. And then you go, wow, I made it to New York. Now where can I go? Well, maybe Canada. That's over there. So maybe I'll do that. So you set your sights and you travel, and you build that insight that sometimes comes with TBI. You end up getting this really cool gift of insight where you feel trusted. You're going to waste a lot of time if you don't. I know that. So you trust that instinct that you develop when you're using other parts of the brain. You're going outside the box when you are in rehab with TBI. You're going outside the box. You're opening, and you're building these new developments, and you're using newer and fresh parts of your brain that aren't damaged, and you're just moving. And just so keep on track. By just keeping your vanishing point, holding it close, draw pictures, have maps, it's really cool. And just remind yourself every day who you are. You're a survivor, and that's already huge. So just keep going. I'm going to leave the line open for a couple of minutes. And again, I'm calling for poetry. Get it to me some way, somehow. I'd love to just have you read it on the air. So I'll see you, thanks for listening, and I'll see you, hear you, talk to you, hopefully, next week, next Sunday, at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And again, if you want to call in, got a couple extra minutes, and I'm just going to stay quiet. 347-857-3755. 347-857-3755.